Well, thank you very much, and thank you for getting here on time, or early. What I'd like to visit with you this morning is about the is results of a lab incubation study, which I recently completed, looking at the impact of soil pH on MBPT and its degradation. As it turns out, the compound is very sensitive to soil pH. The stimulus for this project came initially from the field, and I'll talk briefly about that. NBPT, or N-butyl thiophosphoric triamide, it's the active ingredient in agrotane and other emerging urease inhibitors, Lymus, some others, is the most common urease inhibitor now being used. When we say it's the active ingredient, what really needs to happen, though, is when it's added to the soil, it has to be converted to the oxygen analog to actually inhibit urease. If you were to do a lab incubation study, say with jack bean urease, you would find that the sulfur analog has little or no urease inhibition activity. However, the oxygen analog is the compound that really inhibits urease. So background, as I mentioned, stimulus for this project came initially from the field, and for a number of years I've been doing some micromet measurements of ammonia loss from urea and looking at applications with and without agrotane. And what I found over a number of years was that at field sites with calcareous soils, we seem to get prolonged activity of agrotane or MBPT. We also showed this in some urea hydrolysis rates, which we conducted in the field, looking at little incubation studies in the field, also in the lab. Got an example of some results that we developed in the lab. This was a Telsted-Joplin loam on your left. And you'll see it was a pH of 5.5 and addition of MBPT inhibits urease. But if we were to add calcium carbonate to that same soil, the inhibition is much greater. So, in leading up to the soil incubation study we'll be talking about, we looked at the compound and its longevity and chemical buffers, and I did this in conjunction with my two colleagues on this project, the two chemistry students. One of them had quite a bit of expertise in proton NMR, and what he did is he added MBPT and the oxygen analog to some vessels and looked at the degradation over time. And what he found was the pH certainly affected, or pH of the buffers, certainly affected degradation. And the half-life increased with pH. So just as an example here, at pH 4, the half-life of MBPT is measured in hours, like 10 hours. You get up to pH 7 and the longevity is, at least in terms of half-life, goes up to 487 days. And you'll notice that there's a nice, actually a fairly good linear relationship between half-life and pH. Seems to be directly related to hydrogen ion concentration. The other thing you'll notice, too, is he looked at the oxygen analog, and the oxygen analog is even more sensitive to acidity than is the sulfur analog. So one of the things you do with proton NMR is look at degradation products, and he did this. And if he looked at the parent compound, MBPT, and what he found that it undergoes hydrolysis to N-butylamine on your left and a phosphorus byproduct. So with this sort of background information in mind, we decided to set up a lab incubation study with soil, looking at the effect of pH on decay of the soil under biotic and abiotic conditions. And the reason why I mentioned abiotic, we speculated just based on its sensitivity and buffer mediums that a lot of the degradation of MBPT is just chemical hydrolysis. So I'll mention, too, the abiotic conditions were created by sterilizing the soil. Okay, so what we did is we went into a field site in Montana, northern Montana, which had what I call a very impressive pH gradient, which is actually becoming more common right now. We went from some of the areas in the field. We sampled soil from some of the lower elevation areas in the field with pH 5.1, and the middle part of the field 6.1, and at the summit areas about 8.2. So we brought those soils back to the lab, and we're sampling them from the upper 5 centimeters of soil. We dried those soils, removed the coarse organic matter, sieved them, And from this, we created four pH levels, what I call soil 1 through 4. I gave them these creative names. Soil 1 is our foot slope soil, had a pH of 5. Soil 2 is 6.1 from the back slope, and soil 4 is from the summit position. It has calcium carbonate in it, has a pH of 8.2. And from soil 2 and 4, we mixed the two materials in a 4-to-1 ratio to create what I call soil 3, pH 7.6, which had its pH 7.6, which I referred to as soil 3. So what we did is we took these soils, added 10 grams into an incubation vessel, added some water, pre-incubated them at 20 degrees C for 7 days. At the end of that incubation period, half the bottles were autoclaved and the half were left as control. We then spiked those bottles with 100 micrograms of NDPT, and we did these incubations without urease. And the reason for that is I didn't want the hydrolysis of urease, which will tend to elevate pH, to impact that nice pH gradient that I had going into this study. So we ran this incubation, and then we started removing bottles from the incubation chamber at different days, beginning at about 12 hours and going out to 15 days. Then extractions were run with in water, and quantification of NDPT and the oxygen analog were done using HPLC mass spec, and this was equipped with an electro spray ionizer. So in summer, we had four soils representing this broad pH gradient with and without sterilization, and then three replications because we're removing three bottles at each sampling event. What I want to show you first is some of the results from the our two extreme soil pHs, 5.1 and 8.2. And what we found in both cases, or all cases, is that MVPT decay can form very well to these exponential decay functions. Decay, as you can see, is much slower at pH 8.2 versus pH 5.2. And the other thing I want you to notice is that sterilization, while it slows decay, the difference between the sterilized and non-sterilized soil, at least on the under acidic conditions, is not that great. The differences become more evident at the higher pH soil. And again, I'm organizing these slides as MBT percent of recovered. So 100% represents that 100 micrograms of NBPT that we added to the soil. So those are for the two extreme soils. Let's just complicate this a little bit and just show you the pattern for all four soils. The one on the upper left and the upper right are redundant with the previous slide, lower right. So you'll see that you have kind of a stepwise change in the degradation rates. The decay constants decrease as pH rise. This is very nice data. I mean, it's just when you get data like this, well, you have a big smile on your face. So it just conforms to very nice relationships in terms of exponential decay, and the decay constants as well decreased, and the half-life increased as pH rose. Gives you an idea where the half-life is. You'll see it's less than a day at the pH 5.1, and then as you move up to pH 4, your half-life increases quite a bit, or pH 8.2, soil 4. Okay, so I mentioned that the oxygen analog is really the workhorse for MVPT, because that's the compound that really inhibits urease. So what we did is to look at the appearance of the oxygen analog in our soils during this incubation event, or incubation trial. And what we found was that very little of the oxygen analog was appearing in our acidic soils. And in fact, for the acidic soils, at pH 5, after a day, we're down at detection levels. pH 2, it's maybe 2 or 3 days, and you're down at detection levels. And you'll see there's some obvious differences between the upper two soils and the lower two soils, which are our alkaline soils. So MVPT, the oxygen analog accumulation was only evident under alkaline conditions. The relationship over time was biphasic. You get this increase in the oxygen analog. It's coming obviously from the MVPT. And then in the case of pH 7.6, it maximizes it about 3 days, and then slides down to the end of the 15 days or the end of the incubation period. And then in pH 8.2, again, you get that biphasic response, though under sterilized conditions, the oxygen analog is actually very stable where we have sterilized conditions at pH 8.2. Okay, I plotted here the MBPT half-life versus soil pH, and this graph includes the oxygen analog. So basically, I combined my oxygen analog and the sulfur analog together to create these exponential curves. And I just wanted to show you that the pH at 5.1 is measured in hours, and then it increases and rises with pH, and that you start getting at the pH in the calcareous soils, you see the half-life increases quite a bit more. You'll notice that sterilization, again, didn't greatly impact the half-life except at pH 8.2. So moving on and implications to the fields, what I'm concluding from all this, both this study and some previous studies where I've done in the lab and in the field, is that degradation will occur rapidly in the field under acidic conditions. And my thought is that under acidic conditions, or even up to maybe pH 7, abiotic conditions or chemical hydrolysis is probably the controlling process from these acidic conditions actually to slightly alkaline conditions. And then also the stability of MBPT, in particular oxygen analog, obviously is much stronger under alkaline conditions. And it's only, to me, under the strongly alkaline conditions, calcareous soils, pH 8.2, that I think microbial activity becomes more important to MBPT decay. And just a final comment or two, I thought about, well, if this compound's really degrading that rapidly, and we have an ongoing soil acidification process in many parts of the country, maybe we should be looking at new urease inhibitors with enhanced stability under acidic conditions, either tweaking on that MBPT molecule or maybe providing additives to MBPT to improve its longevity or improve its resistance to acidity. Just one final comment here explaining the sensitivity of the oxygen analog to hydrolysis. This is where I had a conference call with the chemist who worked with me on this project. And what they explained to me is that phosphorus atom is more electrophilic when it's bonded to oxygen versus sulfur. And so that is, in the case of the oxygen analog, it's bonded to oxygen. And that makes the oxygen analog more susceptible to nucleophilic attack from water and cleavage of that phosphorus-nitrogen bond. So that's why the oxygen analog is more sensitive than is the sulfur analog. And just a final comment, this article was published in this last current issue of Soil Science, Society of America Journal. Thank you very much.
We have time for a couple of questions, 2 minutes for questions.
Yeah.
In some studies we've done in the lab, at pH 5.1, ammonia loss, solubilization is a non-factor.
Not necessarily.
Just a comment. And then number two, for pH is above 6, what effect would the urea hydrolysis have on the pH and maybe stabilize?
Well, it depends on how quickly the hydrolysis occurs. And so, I mean, this is where you got this balancing act. If the compound's degrading very quickly, say at pH 6, does the degradation occur before the hydrolysis kicks in and elevates the pH around that ureapril? I don't know the answer to that, but obviously that's what I had in mind. My sense is that when we get to these acidic pHs, even at 6, we're losing a lot of the MBPT. And I'm thinking that its disappearance precedes the rate at which the hydrolysis of the urea occurs to elevate the pH. I have seen good, and mentioning on the first point, I have seen large losses of nitrogen from soils pH 5.5. And I think it's because of the impact, these acidic soils tend to be less well buffered, and you get this elevation in pH around that ureapril. So that's where I guess I took objection to your first comment there.
Okay, I think we're going to have to wrap it up there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.